Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefery, and this is episode number 233. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment these episodes. It just helps me continue to highlight the great coaches that we have on each week. I also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Woodway, for sponsoring this episode. You guys all know what I think of Woodway. It's by far the best product on the market. So if you're in the mood, in the market for treadmills, make sure to check them out. This week, I'm joined by Kate Fowler. She's the strength coach for women's basketball in South Carolina. Heard nothing but great things and been able to follow her from afar. But they just won the national championship, and she's pretty much, you know, looking through the bio, and pretty much won everywhere you've been so far. So it's always a good sign. But, Kate, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Excited about talking with you today.
Okay, I mentioned you've been a few places, and I mean, I'm looking through the bio, and it's you know, it looks like my resume, where you've been everywhere. But I mean, Truman State, Washington, Iowa State, Illinois, Virginia, Maryland, and now South Carolina. Out of those experiences, you know, I always ask the question. You know, I feel like out of all the jobs that I've had, I grew up when I was the head strength coach at the University of South Florida. That's where I really kind of came into my own. Which one of those stops is really where you came into your own?
I think I'm still coming into my own, so that's a little bit of a loaded question. But you know, reflecting back, which I think in this industry where you're changing jobs frequently, in my case, you know some of us are lucky, some others are lucky enough not to have to go through that, but gives you an opportunity to reflect. And you know, I look back, my time at Iowa State was one of my most favorite times, even though in the moment, you know, when you're getting there at 5 a.m. and you're mixing a giant 5-gallon bucket of Cytofuse and you're like, what am I doing? You're not going home until 8 p.m. and you're seeing
right
athletes, and there's only two other strength coaches in the room, and you're just exhausted. In the moment, I think that I didn't see it, but now looking back, I'm like, man, that was really awesome, because those two guys, Mosier and Pete Link, are two guys that we spent so much time together, and those athletes that still come back and hit me up on social media now and can, you know, we can talk about those times when it was our ninth or 10th hour in the weight room and we were exhausted, but we were still helping those guys out. And just the culture at Iowa State we didn't have a lot. We were probably the, you know, in terms of facilities and things that, you know, we get, you know, you look at all the nice stuff we have now, but, you know, at South Carolina, comparatively at the time, you know, we weren't there. So looking back, that was an area that I grew a lot, because we were forced to do that, because we didn't have a lot of things there, and we had to do things that now I work with one team and I have 12.
Right.
So,
right.
That was a pretty impactful time for me. And then, you know, when I was a personal trainer off a college campus, that forced me to grow a lot, because my athletes that came in every day, they weren't 6'5" all Americans. They were 5'11" financial advisors that all they wanted to do was be active with their kids on the weekends.
Right.
Compete in an Ironman. So that forced me to use a different lens. And I think that lens has come back and helped me working with the clients I work with now. My clients, you know, my athletes that come in every day, because I can see them from a different angle than just she's a 6'5" all American. But wait a minute, maybe we can attack some different areas of her body to help her become a better athlete.
Yeah, I think that's so important, especially when you get an opportunity to kind of get outside of, you know, the sport that you're used to working with, or you're working as a personal trainer, working with different goal set, you know, goals and skill sets and things along those lines. I mean, you know, I think it's too easy to get kind of stuck in your rut. You know, you kind of know what you know. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, one of the things that I always do is, you know, if I meet a strength coach from Australia, or, you know, I'm going over to speak in Poland here in a couple of weeks, one of the first questions I'll ask is like, how would you train a football player? You know, just to get a different perspective. And I think that that's important. And it's early in your, you know, a lot of the strength coaches listen, you know, you're young, just getting in the field. I mean, it's one of the best things you can do is just, you know, program for a different sport. You know, even if you're not working with that sport, program for them just to kind of see what you would do and how you would attack that. But I'm glad you mentioned that. You don't go all those steps. And I mean, every step that you've made an advancement of your career, but you know, you don't go all those steps without making a mistake along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you made and kind of how you learned from it?
Oh man. There's been several mistakes. Probably biggest mistake looking back, and I just found an old zip drive, is I probably didn't write enough things down.
Sure.
You know, and I think about running around chasing around strength coaches and trying to figure out how they're thinking. And, you know, I wish I would have taken better notes about what was happening. You know, looking back at all these great conferences I've been to, and I've started to do a better job in the last 3 or 4 years of writing down those conversations, and even, you know, just conversations outside of the presentations.
Right.
You know, if I see somebody like you in the hallway, what's 3 or 4 nuggets I can get from you that I can, you know, write down? And hey, in the middle of January where things are slow, I can go look back at those notes from May and say, oh my gosh, like that was an amazing experience talking with him. I'm going to call him up.
Right.
Like, I want some more of that. Or even working with the great basketball coaches I work with, you know, being able to spend three seasons with Brenda Fries at Maryland, being able to spend now 3 seasons with Don Staley at South Carolina, all those coaching, they're coaching gold mines, you know, even though they're not strength and conditioning, just what they bring every day. I'm like, man, looking back, I mean, any strength coach, you could write a book on the things that we've learned from other coaches. So probably I'm going to start doing a little bit better or anything,
yeah.
You know?
I hear you. I tell you, that's not my problem. It's not writing it down. My problem is going back and rereading it and spending the time to really dig into absorbing that information. You know, if you look at my bookshelf back here, I got millions of books, but, you know, you obviously you've had success, you know, at different places that you've been. I mean, South Carolina is not a new program. It's not new to winning necessarily, but when you did come in there, what, 3 years ago, right? Or just going in your fourth year?
Yeah, going into my third year.
Going into your third year. I mean, you know, you guys had to kind of change the culture. You had to kind of get it going in the right direction. And you know, you did that in 2 years, gone to the national championship, you know, gone and won a national championship. What was some of the things to change the culture or set your culture when you walked in the door that you did early with your team?
Yeah, so coming in, they had just gone to a Final Four. So they had the pieces in place to have a lot of success. And that started when Dawn got here 12, 13 years ago. She started putting the right pieces in place, which she has a great staff of assistant coaches, a great staff of medicine, athletic training. And then, you know, coming into that, they had a lot of great pieces in place. And then you talk about the players they're bringing in. They've had the opportunity to recruit on a national level. And we've had a couple local kids that are, you know, the top player in their high school class.
Sure.
So for those kids to be right in the backyard and then to sign with South Carolina. When I came in my first day, I think I had 4 or 5 McDonald's All-Americans on the roster. So from a skill standpoint, on the floor, we got some BMWs, right?
Right.
That's who's rolling out for practice. But in a weight room standpoint, some of those kids were also BMWs, and that was body made wrong. Like, they're broken, you know? So I think it's easy to look at them on the court and you see them rolling. And the way Coach Staley runs practice, that culture is, I mean, it's as tight and as strong as you're going to see. So my job is to make sure, and you know this, is that when they get in the weight room, that carries over.
Right. Know?
The expectations we have on the floor, when they walk down the ramp into our facility, it's the same thing. You know, even though they're doing, you know, an exercise versus a layup drill, you know, we have the same standard. And the standard is that you're gonna come in every day and you're going to bring more than you have in you, because you don't know that yet, you know. And when they step in on the floor in practice, they think they're given everything they have, you know, and that's what
right.
Their job is to know, you have even more in you. So when they come in the weight room, we're trying to create a seamless transition. And that's, you know, in our job in basketball and strength and conditioning, we get them in June, you know, so we're going June until hopefully April. And so that consistency day in and day out, stepping in, coming into South Carolina, you know, that's what I had to bring.
Right.
Consistent exposure off the floor to a training environment that is similar to what they see on the floor.
You mentioned, you know, you've got those five Parade All-Americans that are walking in the door, but you and I both know that there's various different training ages that are walking in. You know, some have touched a weight, you know, for the last 4 years of high school, and some have never even seen a weight room. Yeah. How do you go about, I mean, obviously it's a little bit better situation than you've been where you're one on 12 as opposed to you have 12 teams, you know, and you're one person, but how do you go about kind of individualizing the program based off training age?
Yeah, so day one coming in, and you nailed it, you're getting, say I have four freshmen coming in. Typically what I see are three out of the four have never trained off the floor. They've been exposed to skills coaches. They've been exposed to potentially a high school weightlifting class. But they have very little experience. They don't even know the names of exercises.
Right.
So when they come in and they're that first year, they're working one-on-one with me. And the training program is very, very basic. We're working squat patterns, hinging patterns. If I were to send you videos of these kids day one, like a push-up, a typical freshman girl that I've gotten, regardless of McDonald's All-American, walk-on, number of push-ups is between 0 and 5.
Wow.
Total, you know, so that's important for them to see, and we try to videotape as much as possible so we can show them the progression, because sometimes they forget, you know, like, hey, when you got here, you were doing zero push-ups, and now you're doing three, you know, you're moving in the right direction. So we spend a lot of time with them one-on-one in the summer, and then hopefully the goal is by the time we get into mid-July, moving into August and September, they can transition to work out with the team. Now, are they doing the same exercises that a junior or senior is doing? No, but there might be a regression where we know that, you know, eventually we're going to be able to progress you to that point.
Right.
But it all is kind of where they fall on that continuum. But typically, when they first get on campus, they're at the very, very
well, you know, that's always interesting, because, I mean, a lot of people keep their freshmen separate. But, I mean, one of the challenges with that, obviously, is – you're also dealing with high achievers. You're dealing with competitors, you know, and so that freshman that's walking in the door may be starting for you,
right?
You know, and they're looking around and starting on, you know, and there's maybe three or four upperclassmen that are surrounding them. They want to be training with them. How do you manage that expectation or that drive or want to be advancing maybe before they're ready?
Well, that's what we want, right?
Right.
Like, we want an athlete that wants to be next to Asia Wilson working out. She doesn't want to be in her own group. She wants to be working out with the All-American Player of the Year. That's what she wants. So we use that. And, you know, she has the motivation. We just have to educate her. Okay, before you get to where Asia is, I need you to show me you can do A, B, and C.
Right.
Once you can do those things, you're in with Asia. Or, hey, you know what? Maybe we will throw her in and work her out with Asia, but you're going to be doing some different exercises, you know, so she is training next to that high, that intense fourth year, gets it, doing some things that you look over, you're like, okay, maybe when I'm doing this, you know, she sees it, you know,
so right.
It's a balance. And I think just with conversations outside the weight room, explaining to them what the plan is, there is more buy-in, and you can use that internal drive that they do have, to help progress them at a more rapid rate.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, if you set standards that they have to achieve, it's almost like now it's not you that they're trying to beat. They're trying to achieve something to get to. And people want that. People want accountability. People want standards, and they want to be driven towards those. So I think that's absolutely right way to go. What, you know, you're coming off of a national championship and you went into an off season, you know, that you've got a lot of athletes that are walking around. I mean, obviously you've got three new starters and all those types of things, but how do you keep that eye of the tiger, that hunger, you know, going in the off season?
we had, you know, you talk about coming back in the postseason. We had two workouts in the spring due to our game schedule and our final schedule. And then they were gone for a couple weeks in May. But coming back in June, we knew that, you know, we needed to make sure that there wasn't a drop off in terms of maybe a satisfaction with what happened in April, that this was a new team. You know, we lost four seniors, three to the draft, and we were bringing in a freshman class of four highly recruited, highly touted high school players. So it was important for us when those kids stepped on campus so they understood what the expectation was. And, you know, Coach Staley, she's not going to let anything slip on the floor, and so we're not going to let anything slip in the weight room. And one of the things that, you know, she'll relay to me is that, you know, South Carolina isn't for everyone. And if those expectations aren't being met, this it might not be for them, you know, and that sounds kind of, you know, extreme and hard-edged, but that's how we want to operate every day.
Sure.
Our players that are successful here, they understand that. And when they leave after 4 years, it's a group of people that have, you know, they take it every year and they just raise it up even more every year. So coming off a national championship, you know, what do? We just keep showing up every day and doing what we've been doing. And that's asking a lot of our players every day and making sure that we continue to push them and move in the right direction.
Sure. You're going into the season here, obviously, and, you know, you shift from that off-season mentality to an in-season mentality. And we all know that basketball can be tough. We're just trying to find time to get your athletes in the weight room. Mm-hmm. What's a typical week look like? What's a typical workout look like?
Yeah, so it's really going to – I say it depends a lot. This week we're going to start games, and within the next 2.5 weeks we're going to play about – 7 games. So we'll have a tournament where we play 3 games in 3 days, and then we'll have 2 weeks where we play 2 games a week.
Right.
That puts us at 7. We'll have kids in those games that'll play 30 to 40 minutes. We'll have kids that won't play. So what I try to do in season is work with them even more one-on-one. So you take an Asian Wilson who's probably going to play 30 to 40 minutes. She's going to be seeing me one-on-one. We're still going to be lifting and training, but her stimulus is going to be different than a kid that didn't get into the game. She's probably going to see me more frequently throughout the week. But our training, we try to stay as consistent as possible throughout the year, regardless of how many minutes you're playing. You know, we'll train the day before a game. You know, that's no big deal. We'll train. Some of our kids might train after a game.
Right.
Something we do. Some of our kids will come in and, you know, they'll train on an off day. That's something that we'll do. So it gets tailored even more and more to that player individually as the year goes on. Now, I think that November is a challenging month for a lot of basketball programs because we are cramming a lot of games in and there is a lot of travel. So, you know, those are considerations we take in as well. You know,
right.
Wilson, though, it's her fourth year, so she's a little bit different than our first year kid. Our first year
right.
kid never played, you know, you should have seen him after our exhibition game. I mean, they're just like, whoa, you
right.
know, playing in front of a crowd now, they're putting the uniform on, you know, their experience during the game is completely different than hers.
Right.
And so that's something that we need to help educate them on how to take care of their bodies post game and what the plan is moving forward. And, But it is 12 different stories throughout the year, and I think the more I can get my hands on them one-on-one, the more success we have as we move into January, February, and March.
I mean, as a goal, are you trying to get – I mean, are you trying to get 2 total bodies in? Are you trying to break that up into, you know, shorter segments? Does it just depend completely on the athlete?
It does depend on them. You know, I think some of our kids can handle a little bit more than others. With our older kids, our returning kids, they're typically the ones that are playing more. My goal is to get 2 to 3 lifts in a week with them. You're right. You have to be cognizant of what's going on from a system standpoint.
Right.
Is she coming in and just dragging and our flight landed at 2 in the morning. Does it make sense for me to bring him in at 8 a.m. and just destroy him with a total body burner. I mean, I don't think so. Right. So there are moments that you need to make decisions like that. You know, does it come to a point in January, February where I might have a scheduled lift with them, and my kids that are averaging 30 plus minutes, we do lifts called reset lifts, where we'll just do patterns, and I don't lose my mind that I'm not hitting a certain percentage with them at that time of year, because that's what they need at the time.
Right.
2 weeks out from the SEC tournament, we need to make sure these guys are clicking on all cylinders. And for me to have to check a box to say, yes, okay, I deadlifted. Okay, great. Boom, box checked. I can sleep better at night. I don't think that's the case at that time of the year.
Right.
At certain moments. And I think that's what our job is. In season, it becomes even harder because we have to make those decisions. You know, am I going to load her when we're 4 days out from a game? Maybe. You know, I think those are things you need to talk about. And you know, I think that's what helps me being at practice every day, being on the bench during the games, and knowing these kids inside and out, because we've been training since June. You know, we know what they can handle. We know who they are, and when they walk in, and we know their injury history, we know everything about them, you know. What can they handle at that time? What's going to happen as a team? So those are all things that I think about, and I don't know if that answered your question, but it depends on so many things, you know.
Sure. Well, I think that's why, I mean, again, I think the programs are getting smarter, and they're realizing that the strength coach is more – you know, they have to be more involved in the practice, you know, aspect. They have to be more involved in the, you know, the rehab aspect and all, you know, all program decisions and things along those lines. And you're dealing with high performing athletes that are dealing with stresses in a lot of different ways. And so it's great to see that South Carolina recognizes that, and they're putting 1-on-12 and kind of where it should be, as opposed to, like I said, 12-on-1, but let's shift gears a little bit. You know, obviously you're a strong female strength coach in this profession. It's a male dominated profession. You know, what advice would you have for, you know, the young female strength coach that's just getting in the field, that wants to be, you know, at a South Carolina winning a national championship some point?
Advice that I would give a female strength coach, I'd probably give a male strength coach the same advice. But it would be to talk to as many people as you can. And when you walk into a room, and this is something that, you know, Mike Curtis at Virginia was always really big on. I mean, he was in the NBA. He's been at the highest level of college. And I think one of the best things that he taught me was that anybody – that's worth your time will have a conversation with you.
Right.
You know, so don't be afraid to walk into a room and ask questions and open yourself up to learning. You know, I think any intern that we've had, that's the biggest lesson I think that you can take away, is that there's opportunities out there to learn. You just have to be willing to listen and ask the right questions at the right time. And then those conversations often lead to opportunities down the road, you know, whether it be for more conversations and more learning, or, hey, I met, Megan Young at a conference 7 years ago, you know, and now, she's introduced me to, you know, 100 other people in the last 7 years on top of all the great conversations we've had. And so it's just one conversation to meet one person, and they can not only teach you the things that they know, but they can open up doors to other people. You know, that, you know, this conversation today, you know, my first time meeting you. So now that I'm gonna see you at conferences, I'm gonna, you know, there's a hug, you know, we've met.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, hey, Katie, I'd like you to meet so-and-so, you know, or hey, Ron, I'd like you to meet, you know, Andrew Mosier at Mizzou. So
right.
I think that as a female coming in, open it up, you know, expose yourself to these great people, expose yourself to great resources, because, you know, this is a profession of great people.
Right.
And I think, think it's surprising whenever sometimes you can surprise yourself with the conversations you will have and the things you'll learn just from picking up the phone, or, you know, when you travel with your team, going into an opposing team's weight room, you know, there's resources everywhere we go. So I think that would be the advice I would give them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, and again, I mean, I would say the same thing to any young strength coach, male or female. But I mean, so much of getting outside of, you know, getting growing is getting outside of your comfort zone, you know, and you know, it's uncomfortable for us to reach out to some people that we think are mentors or, you know, whatever. But I was just having a conversation this weekend at a conference, and you know, they were just so surprised by the fact that I would spend, you know, 20 minutes talking to them, you know, and it's like, you know, to me, that's the great strength coaches. That's what they do. They're willing to, they want to invest in people, you know, because people invested in them or they wouldn't be in the position that they're in. And I think, you know, what you said there, anybody worth your time will have a conversation with you, I think is absolutely true. And goes the other way. If they're not willing to have that time, you know, spend that time with you, then probably not the best mentor for you, you know, probably not the best person to reach out to, but it starts with getting outside of your comfort zone. I couldn't agree with you more. We end the show with some resources here. What is the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Oof. Probably stay in your lane. I think that's a pretty good daily reminder. And you talk about working, now I have 12 athletes. I work just with basketball. I'm not a basketball coach, you know, like right. I'm not going out there. That's not my lane. You know, my lane is sports performance. The basketball coaches, basketball performance. And sometimes there's a little bit of a crossover for sure. But I think that if you can define those lanes, and I can focus and make my lane really great, then it helps their lane, you know, right. But I got to know, you know, I'm not going in and I'm not taping ankles before practice either. That's not my job. That's athletic training, you know, so understanding those lanes and knowing my lane and being able to stay in it, I think has probably been the best advice I've gotten.
No, I agree with you more. I think staying in your lane, but not staying in your own silo, you know, having communication with all those areas is incredibly important as well. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
Book. I just finished Courage is Contagious. It was it's a compilation of essays written for and about Michelle Obama and her impact on not only there's some celebrity contributions, but also just hearing some freshman girls in high school talk about how she's had an extremely positive effect on them. So I think for any coach or leader that just to hear those things, and that was a great read for me. I just started Barking Up the Wrong Tree, which is another book that I think is going to be good. I'm only about an hour into it, so we'll see. And then a website. And I got a lot of websites, but I'm a Reddit. I like Reddit. I don't think that it's a very specific, you know, to give you a specific
sure
why, but it's kind of
that's good.
A black hole.
Yeah.
Information. If you're into Twitter, you might be into Reddit. Maybe there might be some crossover, but that's one that I've been, unfortunately, has been stealing a lot of my time.
Yeah, right.
Seth Godin, his blog is one of my favorites too. So
he's great.
Has some good nuggets. He just thinks differently, which I appreciate. But those
Purple
are
Purple Cows.
Yeah.
It's I not, love it.
Right? Those aren't necessarily strength and conditioning websites or sports performance websites, but I think you can always find information that can help.
I think that's the best. Is anytime you get outside and look at other disciplines to affect yours, I think that's where, you know, the advancement occurs. What you mentioned a couple of apps. I think you had All Trails or something as an app, or
yeah.
And what are some other apps that you said?
All Trails is my go-to. You can find the hikes online.
Is that hiking or biking or what? What are you?
Hiking.
There you go.
You know, this area, there's a lot of great places to hit up, but it'll track you on the app, so you won't get lost even when you're offline. So that's always handy. And then another tracker I use is Waze.
Yeah.
So neither one of those, again, are sports performance apps, but Megan Young got me on cryptocurrency. So Coinbase is another one of my apps that I've been addicted to. If you're interested in the new wave of money known as cryptocurrency, it's something to look into if you're, I don't know, it's kind of almost a little bit too sci-fi-y for me, but it is real. So that's something I've been tapping into a little bit as well.
Sweet. Well, I think that that's, I mean, it just shows, again, I think people that have success, in my opinion, are the ones that look to other disciplines, they get inspiration from different areas, and then they apply it to their situation in different forms. And there's, it's no shock to me that you've had the success that you have. If you've got that kind of eclectic, you know, just curiosity that goes out to find those types of answers, and you don't have the apprehension to be outside of your comfort zone. And so, like I said, it's no shock to me that you've had the success you had and continue to make the impact that you do. So really appreciate you coming on the show.
Ron, thank you, and I appreciate you having me. I hope to see you at a conference on the road.
Yeah, I'm at a few of those from time to time. Thanks a lot.
A couple of those?
Yeah, just a few.
No, thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.